gold in them there hills. Oh, man.
All right, take two. Oh, yes, here we are. Starting over again, because here is the theme song that goes like this.
Delayed raspberry at the end.
I was thinking about my jazz hands. For those of you in the listening audience, I was doing some jazz hands there at the end. You could probably feel it. You could
hear those
it.
Of you in the viewing audience were obviously aware of that. Unfortunately, that's just me. Mm. This is Jace Everett.
And this is Dan Cohen. And you're listening to Talking Into Microphones.
And this time, both microphones are on.
Yeah.
We just did about 15 minutes of some really quality podcasting, except that my microphone was off, which may in fact have made it better. We'll save that.
I don't think so.
But
we were talking about smoking and quitting smoking. And
Dan has quit smoking. He is 21 days into tobacco-free world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big deal. And I am not. I quit the same day as Dan and started right back up about 4 days later.
It's interesting that we didn't plan that. We just randomly started.
Well, to be fair, I quit about every 2 or 3 weeks.
That's true.
So the odds were in your favor that we would quit the same day. Yeah. Now, good for you. You didn't start back up the same day I did. And I've quit since then, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
For about five days.
4 days,
I went 4 and 5. So I'm not smoking as much as I'd like to be.
but... As I told you, you know, you've probably smoked 25, 30 cigarettes in the last 3 weeks.
Easily. Yeah, I've probably smoked 3 packs in the past 3 weeks. I'd say 60, 65 cigarettes in the past 3 weeks.
But that's probably a third. Maybe.
Yeah, but it's kind of like being a heroin junkie or an alcoholic. It's like, well, you're only drinking beer now. So really, when you killed someone with your car, at least it was a beer buzz. And that's the thing. Yes, that's the thing we were talking about the other night. Smoking cigarettes doesn't alter. It doesn't make you drunk. It doesn't make you high in the way. It doesn't impair you physically as far as like operating a vehicle or whatever.
It does make you high.
Yes. And it does impair you physically.
For 4 seconds.
Is that as long as it goes?
It's something like that.
I thought it was like 5 or 6 minutes. It gives you like an IQ boost.
Well, that euphoric blast.
Oh, the euphoria, the dopamine thing is probably really short, but it actually raises your
IQ just a little minutes, bit. Oh, if it was 5 minutes, I'd still be smoking it. Yeah. That's just too great to resist.
5 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of the thing was I wasn't really enjoying it. Because there was a time when I was enjoying smoking quite a bit. I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you... You had one in L.A. when we were at the Roots thing, the Grammy party. Didn't you bum one from me?
Yeah. I can't remember. See, I remember that I started again. Because I had quit for 6 years.
Yeah.
Because I'm a quitter, folks. I like to quit things. I like to quit drinking for 10 years.
And then get drunker than Cooter Brown for a year.
And then quit again. Then quit for 5 years. This is my third period of more than a year of sobriety.
It's good, man.
Yeah.
It's good.
Which is interesting. And it's a little, it's not unusual by any means, but like to go 5 years, drink, and then 9.5 years, drink, upwards of a year and a half. It's... My point is that you shouldn't feel bad about, not being able to quit smoking because it's...
Well, I do feel bad because I want to stop. And, you know, it's like I've tried every...
You're stopping. You're quitting.
I'm slowing down. Slowly.
It's a gerund you've got going
yes.
on.
More of a gerund-like smoker. Smoking, quitting...
But you're also exercising a lot, as I am now.
I am.
Which is why I wanted to have this podcast from the gym.
That would just be so not us.
Oh, yes, I know.
So spot me on this one. So anyway, the other... Are you? I haven't worked out with you. And do you do free weights or are you doing machines? What are you doing?
Sort of a mix of everything. Mostly free weights, though, because I've just for the...
That's the way to do it, man.
Stabilizing muscles and all that kind of stuff.
That's the way to do it. I'm about to cancel my gym membership, by the way.
Oh yeah?
Because it's too expensive. I'm gonna get one at the where you're going.
Planet Fitness.
Oh, by the way, today's podcast is sponsored by Planet Fitness. $10 at your gym. Do it up. Call me Tuesday.
That would be great. But it's they say that they're not a gym. Their whole sort of marketing ploy is that we're not a gym. Everyone's welcome. Right. No judgment. And they're like,
but in real small print, but no fatties.
Yeah. And it's totally a gym. There are weights and lots of machines and people running and sweating and big muscle bound people in wife beaters walking around. It's totally
I think they're
a
just
gym.
Trying to say we're not Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to say.
Yeah. And their letters are purple. So you're like, well, it's those letters are purple. Can't possibly be a gym.
I don't know. Okay.
They're purple. Purple. And yellow.
I'm going to join one. I'm going to find one here. Are they open 24 hours?
Yes, they are.
Because sometimes at 3 a.m. I like to just go pump some iron.
Who doesn't? I like to pump things at 3 in the morning, too.
Easy. All right. Easy. He means crude oil, of course.
Of course.
Anyway, on the one hand, we're tremendously healthy.
Yeah, I'm eating really well.
I'm eating really well. I got a Nutribullet.
Oh, yeah?
Today's podcast is brought to you by Nutribullet.
Grind shit up. Put it in your face. Nutribullet is not a vibrator, although it sounds like it might be a vibrator.
Could be. Very dangerous.
Yeah, like the juicing thing. I was going to do the juicing thing, and then I watched some people doing the juicing thing, and I'm like, well, that's bullshit because you waste 80% of the vegetable, and it's this huge mess.
Oh, I got a juicer.
And then there's no fiber.
I got a really good juicer. And it is delicious and seriously fun. It
really?
Is really fun to juice. I mean, just to put like a big bunch of carrots and apples and pears and spinach.
But then there's like half the food is just.
Yeah, but the sound it makes is very, and you push it down.
I think you and I have
very,
different.
Very satisfying.
I think you and I have a different benchmark for fun. I think we do. I mean, I think that's cool that you were having fun, but I think that there's a different.
And then you drink this lovely juice, and yes, it is such a monumental pain in the ass to clean up. I can't even begin to describe. You have to basically take apart the entire juicer clean every nook and cranny. And let me tell you, that pulp, the pulp that you don't find in whatever bit, and there will be a bit of pulp that you can't find because it's every nook and cranny, it smells bad after a couple of days.
Yeah, I would think. Whereas the Nutribullet, you get a handful of the... I get that kale, spinach, Swiss chard, and something else is in there, and some carrots. Throw that in there. Throw a handful of frozen fruit. Fill it up with water. Literally 90 seconds later, I'm drinking that.
You know what you should put in there?
What?
Chia seeds.
Oh, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, that it comes with that little package that has chia and...
Oh, it's got all the stuff in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maca powder?
Yeah, maca and cacao and chia and one other thingy, Mabob. Nice. I don't know what it is. So, yeah, I mean, I'm doing all that stuff, and then I'll do that. I'll drink some coffee. I'll go for a mile to 2 mile, what I call a walkie run, because I'm 42.
You said you were walking at 5 miles an hour, which is a
basically.
Jogging pace for me.
Yeah, but if I actually run, I'll run some of that, but if I really, truly run it, my shins, after like half a mile, my shins are on fire.
Shins, ankles, hips, back. The difference
it's
between
just
the difference
shins,
between 4.5 miles an hour and 5.5 miles an hour to me is like No, so, I have to do like because I have lots of energy, as I know you do. So I want to run, but my body's like, oh no, I don't think so. No, send him pain signals. Send them now.
What's just the skeletal system just. Simply can't hang. It can't hang like it used to, and that's you know that's the way it is. And
that's why they have bicycles and ellipticals and.
Well, and I do. I've got a bad tube on my bike. I'm getting that back. I've been playing racquetball with the boy, playing some tennis. So yeah, and I do all those things, and then I come home and you know smoke a couple cigarettes, And so my lungs are nice and open. The bronchial tubes are open, filling themselves with oxygen. And I go, fuck you, man. Here's a Marlboro. And my body goes, you're an asshole.
Yeah, but you know there's no better cigarette than that cigarette right after a big workout.
Yeah, well, I think that's the whole post-coital cigarette thing. You know, it's like, oh, yeah.
I don't have very many cravings, really, after a meal. I've noticed that I have a craving to smoke a cigarette whenever I complete a task.
So you want to give yourself a little reward?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I cleaned the kitchen or finished doing the dishes, or yesterday I took a bunch of recycling to the recycling center, and as soon as I was done, my body was like, yay, now we get to... We took that away from us. Well, I have a toothpick then. So today we're going to have some Australians with us, right?
Yeah, it's not going to be on this episode.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's going to be on a forthcoming episode of the podcast. And forgive me for being distracted. I'm looking up for when we have these frickin' gigs and can't find them, because we also have dates to announce, believe it or not.
That's right.
Of the Jace Everett Trio, which doesn't really exist yet, but it will right before we get on a plane. Mark Stepper, are you poking my microphone with a tooth? Do not do that. Don't do that.
But it's there.
Please don't do that.
How could you not do it?
I'd really rather you did not do that. Oh, I didn't put any of the shows up on the website.
Wow.
They're on the Facebook.
I thought I was bad at self-promotion. I thought Dan Cohen was bad at self-promotion. DanCohenMusic.com. You can see how bad my self-promotion is if you go to my website.
What are you trying to say? You trying to make a point? Yeah, I'm not good at it. I'll have to go. I'll go inside and figure this out.
We're going to Norway. We're going to be there for a month.
Just about, yeah.
We're going to play a whole bunch of shows. We're going to go back to the alien landscape that is Svalbard.
Svalbard.
Longyearbyen. Longyearbyen. Longyearbyen is the name of the town.
Yeah, that's true.
It's actually named after a guy named Longyear, who's an American who started the whole mining thing back there
America.
In the early 20th century. And Bien actually just means like town or village or something like that. It's like ville.
And we're going to do the Holland Rock Festival again, too.
Oh, yeah. Is that in Gul?
In Gul. the Norwegian language, Dan seems to have a bit of a beat on it. Gul. I do not. We've been through this before. I've got friends over there that I genuinely care about, and I can't pronounce their names. Much to their irritation.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing to be like, I really care about this person. We talk all the time. Yeah. I don't know how to say their name.
Yep.
I say their name, and then they just kind of shake their head at me in disgust.
Like,
and
my friend Gunbedit Peterson, you know? Who I don't think I'm saying that right.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Gunbarrett
was it. But we're playing like the Yes Yes Pub. And Arons, which is outside of Oslo. We're doing that the 10th and the 12th. We booked a second show because the first one sold out. We're playing the Boots Bar in Aros, Norway. Doing the Holland Rock Festival. Doing a private event, which we can't talk about it because it's private. We can't talk about it. I just said that. We're doing Music Flecken in Sandvika, Norway.
Where?
Sandvika. Sandvika. It's where the sand people of the Viking lore.
This is the first time in quite a few trips that we're going to places I've never been before. Yeah.
We're going to Lillestrøm.
Yeah.
Doing that. We're going to Sarpsborg.
Wait, is there a gig there, or are we doing that radio thing again?
No, we're doing Klimt Live. I think it's a gig. It's a club gig.
With Gustav Klimt?
I
awesome.
I don't know Gustav Klimt.
The artist, the Kiss, did all the gold flake stuff.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be there.
Damn
then it. We're going to Melkfabriken, which I guess is a milk factory, in Sarpsborg.
Is that like a sex thing? Or?
God, I hope not.
All right.
And then we're going to, check this out, we're doing a stadium gig for a football match.
Now, when you say football...
I mean soccer.
You mean with the feet.
Yeah, I mean what football actually is, as opposed to, you know, in our country where it's just a place for wife beaters and child abusers to get together on a Sunday.
I sent my friend in England a message. I was like, hey, are you guys having trouble in England with footballers and cricket players beating the shit out of their wives and children? Because we're kind of having an issue over here, looks like. For some reason, if you incentivize violence, people do violence.
Well, I got to tell you, that whole Adrian Peterson thing, have you heard about that?
Yeah.
And the sponsor?
Initially, I kind of quit following it after I saw the pictures of his kid. Because I grew up being spanked.
Yeah.
And I was never abused once. But my dad would whoop my ass. And then I wound up spanking my son when he was young. And he doesn't think he was abused. I don't think he was abused. But we spanked. So I've always been like, no, I mean, spanking is spanking. But I've realized why people have come out so hard against spanking. It's because there's a lot of fucking morons in the world that don't know the difference between disciplining a child and abusing a child. I mean, did you see that kid?
I haven't seen pictures.
It's like a four-year-old kid that this guy took a switch after, and there's lacerations all over his legs, yeah. His butt, and his genitals.
And his genitals.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So did you ever get spanked? I can't imagine you got spanked.
I did not get spanked at home.
But there's this club. There's this club in Soho where for $50.
I got spanked at school.
Yeah, me too.
Because where I went to school in, you know, in the 70s and 80s in Kentucky, corporal punishment was not in full swing. It was like every teacher had their own paddle.
Yeah. They had custom paddles made for them.
And some of them were the big, like the fraternity sorority paddles, only they had holes drilled.
To make them more aerodynamic.
Decrease wind resistance. Yes. But then there was like...
Diminish the drag coefficients.
Yeah, but then but a lot of teachers had a paddle that was like that balsa wood paddle you do the game with, the paddle ball game, that never saw use. A lot of teachers would never think of paddling. And then... our principal had the electric paddle, which had...
Did he get that at a Hustler shop?
It was an enormous wooden paddle, and he had taken like the inside of a radio or something and glued it to one side of this, and then the whole thing was wrapped up in black electrical tape, of course. And he glued the inside of this radio to it and put like batteries in it and attached a light. So he never used it. He would, like, if you went to the principal's office, it would come out and he would put it on the desk and he'd turn the little thing on so that it was blinking light be going on.
Wow. And that's how kids learn, through fear and intimidation.
And he rode a motorcycle.
Wow. How small do you think his penis was?
Probably pretty small, I'm guessing.
Like a Punjab micro penis type
situation might have been going on there. But yeah, once, actually, I think I was only spanked at school once, and that was for not tattling on some other kids that were doing something in the bathroom. They were pounding on the wall, and all of us came out of the bathroom at the same time, and they said, who was in there pounding on the wall? And I was like, that doesn't seem like something I should say. It just seems wrong. So I didn't tell them, and I got paddled.
Yeah. I got some in grade school, but I got middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Well, 6th and 7th in particular, I got my ass whipped like at least every 2 weeks by the principal.
Really?
Vice principal. Yeah.
I was a good boy.
Me too. These older kids picked fights with me all the time. And so we would get in fights, and especially in 6th grade, I would lose said fights because there would be like two or three of them. So I'd get my ass kicked. That first semester, then we'd go to the principal's office, and then he would kick all of our asses. And I'm like, you know, this is kind of, I don't know what lesson I'm learning here, except that life is a bastard.
I remember one time in middle school, somebody was peeing on the floor.
Sure.
Around the toilet. I don't know why they would bother to go, but they were going into the stall and peeing around the toilet. Sure. And the principal... of our middle school got all of the boys together in the gym and told us that this was going on and how unacceptable it was. And he said, when I find the boy who is doing this, I'm going to wipe up the pee with his body.
Hmm. I think he may have overstepped his bounds.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So anyway, speaking to your point about idiots and abuse and what that is, there are a lot of idiots out there.
Yeah, maybe.
But it is a fine line.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my boy got his last spanking when he was about 4.5, 5. Because he didn't need them anymore. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird. I'm thinking, like, if I had a kid now, would I spank that kid? And I'm not 100% sure I would, which I can't believe I'm saying that, because I've always been a big proponent of, hey, no, these are the rules.
Yeah.
Smack you on the butt. But maybe it isn't the most effective form of discipline, as I was raised to believe.
I always hear that there are studies that prove it doesn't work. And then, I don't know.
I think with some kids,
I grew up in the South.
I think with some kids, it probably doesn't work.
Yeah, I believe that. I also believe that a lot of I grew up in the South. Most of my friends were spanked growing up.
Well, it's certainly a very conservative and biblical, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child thing. I mean, it's kind of ingrained in the DNA of that. But yeah, I think if you're in the NFL, you should probably avoid it. At least for a while.
Yeah, I think
now,
so.
Beating the shit out of your fiance apparently is not a problem, because you'll still get married to her, and then she'll defend you on national television.
Yep, that's fine.
So what pisses me off is this is the year I decided I was going to watch NFL football. I was going to focus. I was going to pay attention because I'm a terrible fan, as you know. But I was like, you know what, damn it, I'm going to be one of the guys this year. I'm going to watch every Sunday. I'm going to watch at least one. And fuck it, I'm out again. I'm out.
No, can't do it.
When the Titans blow chunks
again.
Oh,
wow. I don't know anything about football, but I know that they're bad.
They're really bad. Anyway, so, you know, don't beat your kids if you're an NFL player that listens to this. And I know there's a few of you out there. So
wouldn't that be weird if there was like a secret group of NFL players that listened to our podcast?
What if Adrian Peterson is like a huge fan, our music, but just loves this, hates our music, doesn't even know that we do music, but just... Man, have you heard talking into microphones? That is a badass podcast. They name-checked me, man.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happened the past couple of weeks, it's been all over the social media and kind of...
Wait, one more thing about Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
The thing that's most horrifying about the whole situation is that there was a suspension, they reinstated him, then... his guilt or innocence aside, that he was reinstated, then one of the sponsors dropped out, and then they dropped him again.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory about that. The NFL, which is a charitable, nonprofit organization,
right,
according to TASCO, they may, like other organizations, have a profit interest. They may make some of their decisions based solely upon money. I'm not saying that's true. As a nonprofit, I would hate to cast aspersions at such a charitable organization.
Are you a nonprofit?
Yes. Not on the tax code. It's just that I don't have a profit. Yes, it's grim. It's grim. So
some of the profits from talking into microphones go into buying kale.
Yes, and spinach.
And spirulina.
And Swiss chard. and paying my lawyer that just called and left a voicemail while we were sitting here.
Hey.
Oh, Jesus. So the other thing that happened that I wanted to get your feedback on, this was a weird thing. I'm unabashed fan and have been forever, and this whole U2 debacle of the past few weeks where, you know, everybody's up in arms because... They did a deal with Apple. Apple apparently paid them $100 million and bought the digital rights to their new album. And so everyone who has an iTunes account, which is like 500 million people, Apple put the new U2 album, which is Songs of Innocence, put that in your cloud for you to either click on and download or not. But they put it, so all these people are like, don't put that in my cloud. Which yeah. I think is a, I understand where they're headed with that argument, but I also think it's a little bit fatuous because you don't actually know what's in your cloud.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually control your cloud. You just think you do. You know, you think, well, that's my cloud. It's my, no, dude, it's just a server somewhere in the world that those selfies of your dick are on. And also all your email and all your contacts.
Not just my dick.
Yeah. Well, mostly yours. But not just my, other people's dicks, too.
Hey, but, now, it's not just my dick up there in the
take
cloud.
You take pictures of other people's dicks?
Dick in the cloud.
Dick in the cloud.
Got my dick in the cloud.
So I understand that whole thing about the privacy, but my problem with the whole thing is more what one of my, my favorite band, lots of people love the Stones, the Beatles. U2 is my Stones or Beatles. That's who mm-hmm. I grew up with.
I know.
Grew up, listened, I was in the whole Christian world, so U2 was like the one quote-unquote secular band that it was okay to listen to with War.
They had songs like 40.
Yeah, they had songs like 40 off War. They had Pride where they mentioned Jesus, so they must be Christians. And they espoused Christian beliefs in interviews and stuff. So you could actually listen to that and not be... it was edgy to listen to it, but it was still safe.
Hmm.
And then as I moved away from that, I still
love... That's you, edgy and safe.
Like a safety razor with an aloe strip.
Whereas I'm just safe.
I'm not edgy.
That Dan. His music is so safe. So what I would have liked is if you two had said, would you like to have the new record or War, because I'd rather have War.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what
or
I'm.
Or the Unforgettable Fire. I'd rather have. I don't. Have
I would rather have No Line on the Horizon, which is their album from just a few years back, which wasn't even. Which was my least favorite U2 album ever, right up until this one. Because I've listened to this album four times through now.
Yeah.
And it's just not very good, and I hate to say that. I'm friends with some people in their camp, and I'm a huge... I love that band. I love those four guys. I think they're awesome. But music aside, the thing that really bummed me out about it was... And you got to know Bono's the instigator of all this. If you watch the Apple thing, it was just really unappealing watching him be like... really selling it, 500 million people are going to have this in their inbox. And that need to be the biggest band in the world is really off-putting at this point. I admire that ambition when you're 24, 26, 30.
Yeah.
But at 55...
When you've already sold 150 million records.
And have been, as far as being, there's them, the Stones, the Beatles... Those were kind of the three biggest bands in the world. And to be fair, U2 had a hell of a long run in album sales and artistic merit,
Well, I was hoping this record would be good because of the William Blake reference in the title, but...
I don't know, man. They're putting... It's like they were more interested in the achievement than in the art. And that's disappointing to me. It's weird, and the record is weird because the first half of the record is so obviously songs that they're trying to make hits or whatever, and they're catchy as hell, but they're also just awful. Well, but the second half has some cool stuff where they're getting a little kinky and a little weird. It's like, do that.
Yeah.
Do Zooropa. Don't try and redo.
I think there may be a little bit of looking toward legacy going on with the ad where they're the pictures of the Ramones behind them, and the ad on TV, that song is a...
I haven't seen it, thankfully.
...to Joey Ramone.
Yeah, but if you listen to that song, there's no inkling of that in the song.
No, none at all. And I don't go online to find out any of this. They snuck into a club in Dublin to see the Ramones, when they were kids. U2 has a long-standing relationship with Apple. Some of the most iconic.
Well, they sell that was one of the images. Things. That was one of the things is they talked about. This is like the 10 year anniversary of the Vertigo commercial. Yeah. I'm like, we're celebrating a commercial, an anniversary of a commercial.
Yeah. So there's a certain amount of legacy thinking there, but without the, like you said, the artistic, you know,
yeah,
work
just,
there to back it up. Really,
yeah, to me, it just seems like, and look, man, I mean, U2 and Bono specifically have done amazing things for charity, for Africa. Truly amazing, astonishing things, things that I've never even thought about doing,
You're
let alone doing.
You're saying this effort could have been better expended in some other area.
Yeah, to me, it's just...
This clout could have been used in some
I just remember way. I remember when they won the Grammy in 94 for Zooropa. Mm. And he's up there in his sunglasses and his longish hair, and you could tell he's probably got a pretty good buzz going. And he says, he's getting the Grammy, he's like, and Zooropa was a weird record that was done in like 3 weeks while they were on tour. And it was just the kinkiest thing they'd ever done. And he said, we promise to continue abusing our position to fuck with the mainstream. And I was like, yeah, do that.
Mm.
Do that.
Yeah.
Be subversive. Don't worry about being the biggest band in the world. I don't know. I think that's what really pukes people out about it. I think that's why people are pissed off about it. They think it's just it's unattractive. Because you know who he reminds me of in this pose is
Toby
Gene
Keith.
Simmons.
Oh.
Reminds me of Gene Simmons, who's never been about the music, who's all about the marketing and the shtick and the merchandise, and we're the biggest and we're the best. And it's just, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I want to talk about that, but I kind of.
But I don't want that record. I would rather have The Unforgettable Fire.
Yeah.
You think I could trade it in?
I don't. You know what? That would be brilliant if they would come out and say, all right, if you don't want the new record, that's fine. We will gift you. Because you know what's happened? It was a money-making machine. The sales of all their catalog have skyrocketed. And they're getting really paid for that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. It's weird, man. Business is booming.
It sure is.
Yeah. Especially in Syria. But anyway, you got any news you want to tell the kids? Because
No. I'm done, I think. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, the next episode will be very interesting. We have Melody Poole, Australian singer-songwriter.
Crazy good.
Crazy good. One of the great voices you'll ever hear.
Wow.
A youngster. Great songstress. Dan and I worked on her first record, The Hurting Scene, which we'll talk about on the podcast. She's going to play some new stuff live, and she is bringing her father with her to this, and he's going to play some stuff live.
He is.
He's a old school working musician down in Australia. And he's got some stories and some very hilarious songs that he's going to share with us. So that'll be on the next one. Yeah, this is Jay Zerbert.
This is Dan Cohen.
And this is Talking Into Microphones, episode whatever. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys. Faggots.